Y'all pray for us.
Amen.
Going to take a very familiar reading this morning, and our thought is going to be broken for you. And what my hope is today is, I think it's good for us as a church to be prepared to do this and remember what He's done for us. But right now, I really want to get it down more than that.
Amen.
I want to get it down to you. And so today, I want you to understand what's been done for you. It's easy to say, for God so loved the world, and He did. Don't misunderstand me one bit. But if it was just me, He would have came and He would have died. Just for me. If it had been just for you, He would have came and He would have died and He'd been broken just for you. And I want you to remember that today. As we try to go through this, it was for you. And if you'll get to that point and really realize that, it'll mean a lot more to you. Isaiah 53. This was somewhere around 700 to 750 years before Christ. The prophet wrote it down just like he was sitting there watching it happen. Who hath believed our report? In whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form of comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned to every one to his own way, and to the Lord have laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearers, his dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from the judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the hand of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had none, no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days and his pleasure. And the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. And I want to take our text over here, and most of you probably know where it's coming from, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and 24, and it says, and when he had given thanks, he broke talking about the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this, do in remembrance of me." And of course, it goes on and talks about the blood and the juice of the vine in the next verse. But what my thoughts is broken, and he narrowed it down there for you. And I pray today the Lord would help us to be able to see what's been done for us. When I think about the things that the Lord suffered, and he suffered it for me, and I can't imagine anybody doing that for me, much less God in heaven. I want to tell you, when we consider ourselves and consider the things that we've done and the things that that we're going to do, I believe when the Lord saves our soul, he don't just save it for the things we've done, but I believe he saves it for the things that we're going to do. And I'm going to tell you, I'm still going to disappoint him. Even if I just make it to get home today, I pray for a little while I can please him standing up here. And the only way I might leave here in a way of not letting him down anymore than he might take me, but I'll probably even let him down to this. And that's always not our desire to do that. But today I want you to get, let it sink down in you what he done for you and the things he suffered, how he was led before the shears, and it said he was dumb before the shears. That don't mean he was dumb and not smart. That means he was just quiet. He didn't defend himself none. I want you to know if there had ever been anybody could have stood up and said, "I've done nothing wrong," it was him. But do you know what they found wrong in the man? Do you know what they found in him to crucify him? And finally it got to the point they kept asking him over and over, "Are you the Son of God?" And he finally got to the point he said, "I am." And I want you to know that's what they found him guilty for, by being the Son of God. And he was. He wasn't guilty of that. But listen, that's the only thing they can find wrong with him. Listen to me today. But as he hung there on the cross, he became guilty for you and me. And I'm wondering, had no sin about him, took on our sin. It says, while we were yet sinners, he died for us. And he said that he that know no sin becomes sin for us. And now I really don't understand that. I don't understand why he'd be willing to do that. I want you to know right now, I will not take your faults, Barry, brother. You just watch me and see how I act. Me and Barry go out and do something, and Barry does it, and I sit there and watch him do it, and we come back over here and y'all say, "Y'all went out and done this." I'll probably be the first one to jump up and say, "I didn't do it. Barry done it." I would be the first one. But he didn't say a word. He didn't do it, and Barry did. And he said, "Father, I'll take it. I'll take it for it. I'll take it." See, today, he wants to take yours today. He wants to take what you have done. He wants to take that. And when they put him in that grave, honey, they laid him in that grave, our sins was took there. I want you to know, and they was left there. They was cast in a sea of unremembrance as far as the east is the west. I think about, y'all can believe what y'all want to. I believe it just like the Bible says it. I think, I really didn't want to get on this, but Lane got on some of it this morning, and that's how I believe it, and I can't help it.
I believe in the commission. I mentioned it already. I believe in the commission when he said, you go into all nations. You preach the gospel to every creature. And he said, turn around and he said, you baptize them. Amen. I believe it's a privilege to be a member of the Lord's church. Amen. I believe when we're saved by God's grace, we're to teach them that to unite with the church. Yes, I believe they should follow the Holy Spirit of God. But I also believe the truth too. I believe they're to unite with the Lord's church. And I want you to know, I believe if you've truly been saved by God's grace, he's going to lead you to unite with the Lord's church. I believe people fight that. I hear people say it was years. It might have been years for you. But I believe with all my heart, somewhere along the way after you got saved, the Lord tried to get you to go to the house of God and unite with it and be baptized. Why would he give the commission if he didn't expect you to do it? When we go down to baptize, I don't know how other, I don't pay no attention to how other pastors do it. I know how I do it. What I say and the reason I say we're keeping the commandment of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the reason I say that is for a reason I do that. Because he did give the commandment to do it. It's an ordinance. And I'm afraid it's not being taught anymore. And that's why so many are here today that can't take a part of this, which he said, do this in remembrance of me. Because I give my body for you. It was broken for you. I was beat. I was spit on. Now the chief priests and the elders and all the council sought false witnesses against Jesus to put him to death, but found none, yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses and said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose. He got him up. It angered him. He said, the high priest arose and said unto him, answer thou nothing. What is it to which these witness against thee? But Jesus held his peace. He was led to the shears. He never opened his mouth. And the high priest answered and said to him, adjure thee. He said, make an oath by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ or the Son of God. And this is not here where he said I am, but he told him plainly that he was. Jesus said unto him, thou hast said, nevertheless I say the Son of Man. I said, no, hereafter ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of the power coming to the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we witnessed? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. And what think ye? They answered and they said, he is guilty of death. Then they that spit in his face. I want you to think this was done for you. They stood and they spit in him. I believe they called him everything. They spit on him. Not only on him, but in his face. And they buffed him, that means with a fist. They hit him, they got right over him, and they hit him like that. They were standing, they spitting, and they was hitting him. They was beating him, he was broken for you. It should have been you sitting there. I take it that beating. And it goes on. And others smote him with the palms of their hands. They smacked him. They spit on him. They was all around him. They hanged up on him and beat him, smacked him, spit on him. Blasphemy. saying, prophesy to us, thou Christ, who is it that smote thee? I want you to know he knew who touched him. That woman that had an issue of blood, when he raised up and, or turned around, he said, who touched me? He knew exactly who touched him. It was for their sake. They said, Lord, how do we know? How, look at the multitude, how can we know? He knew. It was for us to, and we would know. And we don't know when he touches somebody, he does. He knew exactly who it was that smacked him, that hit him with a fist, that spit in his face. He knew exactly who every one of them was. And if they didn't get things fixed, they paid for it in a great, mighty way. Could you have wanted to stood in the front of a living God after he gave his son to die for you? And then you just got, you beat him in the face, and then you stand in front of God. Oh, no, you won't. You'll be on your knees. And you'll beg and plead for mercy, and it'll be no mercy. Because he got it. He was broken for you. He was broken for me. That's where it gets personal to me, Teresa. It means something to me, he done it for you. But it means a whole lot more than he done it for me. Because I know what I am. Listen to me today. You'll say, how can they do that? How can they done that? How could they? I beg for a murderer to be released rather than Jesus. I want you to know, how can they say crucify him? And you're doing the same thing today by rejecting him. By sitting and just listening over and over and over. Being too full of pride. Too full of yourself to realize what's been done for you. They took him in front of Pilate, and Pilate couldn't find nothing wrong. That he was deserving of death. They sent him to Herod, the king. Herod sent him back. He didn't find nothing. When he gets back, Pilate's wife has had a dream, and she said, don't you have nothing to do with this innocent man. And I believe Pilate got to thinking about it some. He even tried to wash his hands of his blood, but I want you to know it's impossible to do that. They took him and led him away. They whooped him like no man's ever been whooped. They placed a crown of thorns upon his head. They took a stick and they beat that crown down. Chris Payne made one time and brought it here and wanted me to use it on this very kind of occasions, and I never did. I never did feel led to it, and I don't think it'd be nothing wrong with it, but he brought one and it had thorns in it that long. It may still be out there in the building. They put that upon his head, and then they just smoked it. And that just buried down in his head. They took a whip that had, it just wasn't a whip that had was leather. I believe it was leather. But it had little bones and all kinds of little objects in it to where when they whipped him, Josh, it stuck. And it grabbed. And they pull it out. When they pull it out, they pull out meat and blood. For you. And you. And you. Even the least one here. That baby. He was broken for you. Just because He loved you. He wants you to be saved. Then I see people that think, they say, well, I just don't feel worthy of taking the Lord's Supper. No, you're not. Nor am I. There's only one thing that makes you worthy. It was the blood that He placed in your heart. The blood that was shattered there on the ground. So after they beat Him like that and He was down, I jumped to a pulp. I want you to know. Then they laid a cross on Him. And headed to Golgotha. And they say, there was one come along and helped Him carry His cross. I believe He burned His cross. But I believe that one come along behind Him and helped Him bear it. And we're going to do the same thing now. But they got Him up there. And they nailed Him on that cross. And they lifted Him up between the heavens and the earth. And why He was there dying for you and me. I believe the one that was there, I think He was on the right. You can believe what you want. But I believe He'll set the righteous on His right side. And there was one as He died there. Begged of Him. Listen, on the left side. Still railing on Him, being guilty, just like me and you, but could not see His guilt. But the one on the other side saw Himself for what He was and said, remember me when thou enterest into thy kingdom. And He said, now, as He was there dying for me, this one over here knew. It was Him. He said, this man ain't, he's the man you deserve. As they sang the song, the man in the middle, we know why the two on the side was crucified. But the man in the middle was different. There was something different about Him. And He said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. It wasn't long. It was getting later in the evening. And they had to have Him down off the cross before the Passover. So they sent the soldiers to break their legs. They had to break the legs of the thieves. But when they got to our Lord and Savior, He had already gave up the ghost. They stuck the spear in His side. And it said, come out blood and water out of His side. And that's what it takes to make His bride. When God made Adam, He took him up out of the dust of the ground and made a man. And He breathed in his nostrils and he became a living soul. And then when He made Eve, He calls Adam to fall in a deep sleep. You can believe what you want to on that. I believe it was a deep sleep. And He took a rib out of His side. And He made woman. That was His bride. And it was a picture of the bride of Christ. So they stuck the spear in His side. And out come blood. That's got to be first. Amen. You must have the blood applied. Next was the water. You must be baptized into the Lord's church to be His bride. You. Broken for you. I don't know how many times I've done this. I have no idea.
I don't know how many times we've been to the water's edge. I don't have no idea. When we go to the water's edge, every time we go, what do I think of, brother? What do I always say? I always talk about John the Baptist. I look up there towards Barry's, up there towards the hill, and I just see John standing there at the water. He looked up there. Here comes Jesus. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God. Take away the sin of the world." I rejoice in that every time we're down there. I just get, you know what I think about when I stand here? I look up and I see him hanging out in my place. And it's hard to rejoice over that. But we should. We should give him honor and glory. But I can't imagine it. Him hanging there. Well, oh, for me. Just for me. That's what it's about today. Get the world out of your mind. Everybody else around you out of your mind. It's for you. You. It's broken for you. That's my little thought. I pray somebody here today, if you've been saved and united with the Lord's church and been baptized and you never took part of the Lord's Supper, I pray today, he said, do this in remembrance of me. Do it in remembrance of me. And if you're here today and you've never been saved with God's grace, before we get started, I want to give you an opportunity to come and seek the Lord. Or you can have that blood applied. It was you. That's the way it's got to be. It's got to be personal. And we're not going to have a song or anything, but come. If you're here today and you're lost, and you say, this is not how we do it, Brother Jeff. This is how the Lord would have it done. If you're here today and you're lost, come. Seek the Lord and be saved and get part of that done today. The blood that come from his side. Are you lost today? Then you need to seek the Lord. You can seek him where you're at. As we do this, keep in mind what we're doing it for.